If your house was on fire and you could only take one thing, what would you take? Most married couples said they would take their wedding ring. If your spiritual house was on fire and you could only take one or two things, what would you take? What did the Apostle Paul take? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life. Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio now as we take a look in the book.
Hands together and praise the Lord. How many of you know he will supply? Do I have any witnesses today? He will. Amen. Do I have any witnesses on this side over here? What about on this side over here? What about in the choir stand? Will it? What about upstairs there? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. He will. He will. Not he may be or might. He will. How many of you know you got to have a no-so faith? A lot of people have hope so faith. I hope he'll do it. You got to get to the place in your life of saying, I know he will. He will. See, when you get to that point, you got all your faith in him. Yeah, there ain't no plan B. I'm counting on him. When God sees that kind of faith, he will supply. Amen. Get the Lord another hand. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. All right. For those of you who have your Bibles, open with me to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, and I want to read verses 7 through 16. Acts 28, verses 7 through 16 will be our text this morning. Look at what the Word of God says here, beginning with verse number 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Pelus, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Pelus lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in their island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rigamus. And after 1 day, the sun the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Poloi, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went towards Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apaphom. And the three taverns whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. He thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. The title of my text is coming out of verse number 15, where Paul, when he saw those Christians coming his way, the scripture says he thanked God and took courage. I want to talk about two diamond rings. Two diamond rings. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor, going to talk about two diamonds rings. Two diamond rings. Y'all going to pray for me? Y'all gonna go with me? I'm gonna have to go by myself. I want to talk this morning about two diamond rings. A man one day took a survey, and he asked people if a house was on fire, and you could run back in the house and get one thing, what would you run back in the house and get? And to his surprise, a lot of people were saying they would get their wedding rings. Now, as I heard that, I can understand why now. Why you get your wedding ring. Because wedding rings are valuable. Y'all did get wedding rings, didn't you? I mean, they didn't stop by the bubble gum machine and get you a wedding ring, did they? Amen. It wasn't, you didn't get your wedding ring out of Cracker Jack box, did you? Amen. Well, then you ought to say amen. Wedding rings are valuable. Matter of fact, the first time I went in debt. Hello, somebody. First time I had to have some credit. Took me almost a year to pay that thing. It was valuable. Hello, somebody. Amen. Wedding rings are valuable. Wedding rings, particularly diamonds, are forever. But wedding rings also let you know that you are valuable in the eyesight of that giver. The person that gave you that wedding ring said that you are valuable, and I want you forever. You are valuable. Amen. And I want to keep you till death do us part. I want to keep you for better and worse, sickness or health, and richer or poor, as long as we both shall live. Boy, that's some heavy stuff there. In other words, that says regardless what come, regardless what go in our life, I want you. Oh, That lets you know you're valuable. The wedding ring lets you know who you are. It lets you know that Brother Gerald said at his reception, I'm married now. It lets you know that I'm married now. Hello, somebody. Amen, amen. But it also let other folks know that you're married. It let other men's and women's know I'm already taken. I'm already off the shelf. Somebody else have already got papers on me. Hello, somebody. It reminds you, the wedding ring reminds you who you are and whose you are. That's what the wedding ring reminds you. It's a symbol of your commitment and a symbol that you are valuable. So I can see why those folks said that if the house is on fire, I'll run back in and get my wedding ring. Because it's a sign of who you really are. It's an identification of who you are. You know, if your spiritual house was on fire, you would want to run in and get these two things here. You would want to run in and get some thank you, Lord, and run in and get some courage if your spiritual house was on fire. Oh, you can make it if you got some thank you, Lord, and some courage. In other words, what I want you to see is thank you, Lord, and courage is like two diamond rings. Yeah, yeah. See, when a person can say thank you, that lets you know something about that person. See, when a person can't say thank you, that lets you know something about that person. You do something for that person and they won't say thank you. They just told on themselves. But when a person can say thank you, God, thank you, Jesus, that lets you know that they are a believer in God. Regardless what has happened in their life, they still is holding on to thank you, Jesus. Holding on. You know, when I look at Paul's life after all that Paul had been through. You know, we've been tracking Paul. We've been studying Paul from Acts chapter 7 where he was standing there holding the coats there when Stephen was getting stoned. And we looked at how Paul got converted in chapter 9 and how he got the missionary call in chapter 13. And we saw Paul going through some good times and bad times. We saw Paul going through some stoning and some beatings. We saw Paul going in prison and out of prison. And even right now, we see Paul had went through a storm, had went through a shipwreck. And Paul now is on this island. And they're getting ready now to go to Rome, and they finally make it to Rome. And when Paul got there, Paul was still holding on to his thank you, God. After all he done been through, Paul, he could have had some bitterness in his heart. But rather than choosing to be bitter, Paul was better. He could still say, thank you, Jesus. See, let me tell you something. Do you want to know why a lot of churches are not full this Sunday morning? Can I tell you the truth? Can you handle the truth? It's because a lot of folks that's sitting at home are angry with God. They upset with God. They don't feel that they don't feel good about going to church because they ain't ready to praise God yet. Because they asked God to do something and he didn't do it. They asked God to give me something and he ain't gave it. And so they're upset with God. God done took something out of their life. like a diamond ring in their mindset, and they are upset with God. They can't give him praise. Life done made them bitter rather than making them better. Oh, can I go a little bit further even this morning? Can y'all handle the truth? Right here at Bible Way this morning, there are certain folks that can't praise God. All because they are bitter about what something done happened in their life. Let me tell you something. A lot of times we look at folks that are praising God and we say, now, it don't take all that. Listen, child, you don't know what they've been through. They done been through some storms, some rain, some heartaches, and pain. But they still can say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, those are diamonds. That's like a diamond ring. You want to hold on to, thank you, Jesus. And you want to hold on to your courage. Yeah. Why was Paul thanking Jesus so? Why was he thanking God? There was many reasons Paul could thank the Lord. Can I give you three reasons this morning why Paul was thanking God and he was courageous? Can I give you three reasons this morning? I just want to give you three reasons why Paul was thanking God. And I just want to talk just a minute or two about being courageous, holding on to your courage. Can I do that this morning? So actually, really, I got just a two-point sermon with some other stuff in there. Amen. Amen. Thanking God, Roman number one, and courage, Roman number two. But I'm going to just throw some stuff in between. Amen. And I want to show you three things why Paul was thanking God under that Roman number one. And that's just right out of chapter 28. I don't want to go, we ain't got time to go all the way back to chapter 9 where he got saved. I just want to pull out three things out of 28. We'll be here this time next year if I had to go back to chapter 9. Amen. Paul was thanking God because of the providence of God. He could thank God because of God's providence. Look here at verse number 7. It says, in the same quarters of the same place were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Paulus, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. In other words, he entertained us. And it came to pass. Oh, let me just deal with verse 7. Now, in that verse number 7 there, Paul them just happened to be shipwrecked right there at Paulus' house, where he stayed, the chief of the island, with all his possessions, the Bible says. In other words, was this an accident that they just happened for the shipwreck to be land at Paulus' house? Was that an accident? I mean for them to land at the chief of the island house, the man who had possession. Keep in mind, there was 276 men. See, I grew up watching Gilligan's Island. And on Gilligan's Island, when they landed on the island, it was almost like a desert island. They would look like they was they thought they was there by themselves. These folks had came through a storm and rain, them came through the shipwreck, and their boat just happened to make it right there at Paulus' house. They were shipwrecked right there at the chief house. See, if they would have landed northward, it may be that it may not been no people there. They would have landed like on a deserted part of the island. Or if they landed southward, they may have ran into some hostile tribes, some mean folks. But they landed right there at the chief house. Was that an accident? Somebody may say, oh, that was just a coincidence. Because, see, not everybody can take care of 276 folks. Not everybody can feed 276 folks. Not everybody can put clothes and got enough clothes for 276 folks. Not everybody can have a party for 3 days for 276 folks. What happened here? Was this an accident or a coincidence, or was this the providence of God? Did God look down in the future and went there and prepared the hearts of the chief and then went on back over here and made sure that the ship get shipwrecked right there and where they can get on some broken pieces and float on over to Palua's house? I believe that it was no accident that they showed up there. I don't believe that that was a coincidence that they showed up there. I believe that that was by design. It was the providence of God. Because what God does in our life, God goes ahead of us because he knows what we're going to encounter. And he prepares things. And then by the time we get there, God takes prepared people and bring them to a prepared place. That's the providence of God. See, that lets me know that you ain't on the road by yourself. God knows when you need to break down. God knows where you need to break down. God knows why you need to break down. God knows who you need to see when you break down. God got it all designed. Yeah, yeah. See, when we are planning on a trip, we often plan our departure and we are planning on our arrival. That ain't how God planned things. When God planned your trip, not only do God plan for your arrival and your departure, but what God does, he plan on your detours, he plan on your steps as well as your stops along the way. Oh yeah, somebody said the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. But the old preacher said, not only are your steps ordered, your stops are even ordered. God knows where you're going to stop. You ain't planning on stopping along the way. It's supposed to have been a direct flight there, but God knows. And that's by design. Your stops are by design. Oh, yes, I'll never forget. We was going home once, traveling down I-20, and all I got to do once I get on 20, just stay on 20 until I get to Jackson, Mississippi, then hit 55 south and go 55 miles, and I'm home. But I got on Highway 20, and when I got past Shreveport, almost to a lit town called Minden, Louisiana, I had a flat. And I went on, changed the flat. You know, in these new cars, and this was back in the, I think, in the late 80s.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah, yeah.